Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome to Lutheran Radio UK, your healthy digital radio addiction, where we have for you now another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. And this week we're looking at Isaiah chapter 51 verses 4-6 and what it would be like if it were just us and him. So from the English Standard Version our text reads, "Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed." Everything goes when he comes. Everything in the Genesis 1:1-3 package, including all matter, space, time, energy, everything, gone. We have no concept of what gone means, not really. That thing we threw away is gone into the rubbish bin, but it's collected by the dump truck and gone to the dump site, where the rubbish is either piled or incinerated. So it's never really gone, because the laws of physics require a lot of energy to disperse matter so finely. So, rather than destruction, there is usually but transference of matter, and rarely is anything just gone. But Torah has proceeded from him, verse 4. And part of Torah, not all, includes the soul whose sins shall die, Ezekiel 18:4. And cursed is the ground because of you, Genesis 3. And we've seen things run down until they're going, gone. But when this earth goes hollow and dry like an ancient garment that can't even be touched, lest it disintegrate, when this world that seems so solid blows away like chaff, along with the people on it, and along with all our laws of science that turned out to be temporary too, then we will realize on that day what gone truly means. I say when, but when will no longer exist either. There's a difference between sky and nothing. A difference between air and nothing, a difference between space and nothing, and a difference between time and nothing, and that day will make it plain. Yet we lift up our eyes to the heavens and say, but today is not that day. And so we take another breath of his air and another glass of his water and work and play on his firm ground, and by so doing transfer his energy into more sin, while we borrow more of his time, and by not listening, refuse to give ear to him. We in this 21st century are without excuse when we lift up our eyes to the heavens. Even our temporary scientific laws tell us how fragile the heavens are. Those who fancy themselves scientific types used to laugh at biblical phrases such as "the skies will roll up like a scroll," Isaiah 34:4. Until we saw vast expanses of the heavens sucked into one of those black holes that God allowed us to lift up our telescopes and discover. If we lift up our eyes to the heavens, even with the little we know so far, we could at least surmise that a black hole big enough could swallow everything. But there never will be, you know. Not because we don't really know what we have discovered through science, but because we know how the end will be. The Lord will come to bring it to an end. It won't be by natural disaster. It will be the Lord's doing. This is why not even one comet will come upon us to destroy us. It will not be natural. The Lord will make each and every person absolutely sure what is destroying them, for it will be his judgment, not some freak accident. It will be by his power, and you will hear the trumpets calling his imminent return. So we come back to the real heart of the matter. Every era of humanity is without excuse when it comes to looking at the earth. On the one hand, there is actually this clear stability that is in God's hands, that no mere man, nation, or even freak of nature can alter. But on the other, it's frightening, really, to look at how fragile it all is, while we sin and run from Him, how every orbit hurling around us, every tide surging at us, every plate holding us up, every atmosphere regulating our breathing and personal cabin pressure, every asteroid that misses us, are all held together by the same Torah that has gone forth from Him, while we dare Him to call our bluff of unbelief. We need to know that this world won't randomly be destroyed, but that it is wired for demolition. So watching this earth tells us both the glorious power of God's creation and how much of it has gone terribly wrong for our sake, Genesis 3, or how many people that we loved do we have to lay in the ground before the lights turn on. Verse 4 says, I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. Recognize His justice, for it's only fair that the soul who sins shall die. But the vastness of God's justice clearly goes beyond what these finite brains deem as fair. We heard just the other week how justice sometimes seems unfair, but the truth is when the just person is good, i.e. when he is God, He finds a way to justify the unjust. Thanks be to God. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth. Verse 5. It's only when, in all the stupidity of mankind, the unjust should refuse God's justification that he is lost indeed. For there is nothing unfair about grace. He asks you to do nothing. What could be more fair? Isaiah writes as much as he makes no difference between righteousness and salvation. Indeed, these two are very much the same thing. And this is made clear not just in verse 5, but in verse 6 too. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. And not just in these verses, but in 8 other places in Isaiah, the righteousness and salvation of God are paired as one. The righteousness, the required love performed, is in fact the same thing as the salvation, the actual salvage of broken lives out of corruption and death and into holiness, that is to be totally alive. Yet ironically, human righteousness and God's salvation are not commodities to be sought with everything in our power, as noble and heroic as that may sound, for we have no such power. Rather, these are given. So give ear, listen. Here's the good news. By the will of God, human righteousness is declared, and God's salvation is given you. These are given according to their namesake, because they are one. One not by the conversion of God's salvation into human righteousness, but by taking human righteousness up into God's salvation. Human righteousness was earned by a Jew from Nazareth whose name is Salvation, the Lord's salvation, Yeshua. Jesus is the righteousness that is near. Jesus is the salvation that has gone forth, down from heaven, incarnate to earn righteousness in a human body like ours, and to offer that righteousness up to the Father on our behalf. Jesus is the Torah that proceeded from the Father, and His arms did judge us all in Him. His arms were stretched out and nailed down on our behalf. One has died for all. Therefore, all have died, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, all on the cross that hung between the heavens above and the earth beneath, forever the difference between a light to the peoples and the vanishing like smoke. By the grace of God, no one has to search in dread for righteousness and salvation, for righteousness and salvation are already now one man, and this man has already sought you out. And so really, quite correctly, it is not that you have attained righteousness and salvation, but that righteousness and salvation has attained you, because Jesus has received you. Indeed, the Lord's righteousness and the Lord's salvation are the same person, a man who is God, and He is the one who has done the searching. He's gone the distance. You've been found. So take up your life and live it, for you have been recycled. You're the rubbish that had been thrown out by the world and the consequences of sin, but not to be incinerated, rather to be recycled anew. And for those of us who know we've been found and spend our days, though not enough, worshipping him for his grace and mercy, the gospel keeps us awake, as Jesus had admonished to his disciples. We remain awake for that hour when all flesh learns that even time is a created thing, and the power of creation was and is a Jew from Nazareth. We keep awake as we stay conscious of the fact that God will one day run out the clock on a contest already won, for this is what we believe. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, encourages us how we are to be, in the knowledge that we are victors. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Verses 20-23. Any Christian winces at the prospect of presenting the fulfillment of those action verbs without stumbling. But that's the reason we are so relieved to know that righteousness and salvation are a gift, a person whose actions alone matter, just us and him. Which is why Jude comforts us with this final word. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Verses 24-25. In his name and for his sake. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann. You are a faithful listener, and together we are the resistance. If you're tired of all the postmodern rubbish going on all around us, and you too are in or near South Wales, you need to come join us. We at St. David's Lutheran Church would love to meet you. You can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. This Sunday we have our usual program of Lutheran study at 9:45 a.m. before the main divine service at 11. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the beginning of a new church year. Next week we start Advent and Series C of our lectionary. It also means we have our midweek services at 7:30 p.m. So if you're listening to this broadcast live, that means a week tonight for 3 weeks, and those sermons aren't broadcast, so you better come on down and just celebrate with us in person, or else go to the nearest Lutheran congregation near you and celebrate this most festive of occasions as we anticipate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, both for all eternity and as we celebrate the first nativity. This day and age is not the time to be afraid to stand up for the truth in which you believe. As for next week in Faith That Functions, then, we'll be meditating on one of our first lessons of the year, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9-13. We have so much for which to be thankful. We have so much more love with which to share. So for now, I pray God's peace be with you, now and always.